Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9, coming to you from Building 33, Microsoft, the Machine Learning and Data Science Conference, and Analytics. I forgot Analytics. I'm here with a very special guest. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do?
Hi, I'm Lakshmi Menon. I am an engineer in the Bing Ads team. We specifically work on the ad quality side. So we're based out of IDC Bangalore. We're a team of around 16 engineers, and we work on various aspects of policy violation checks, fraud detection, phishing detection, etc. On the Bing Ads customer.
So this is kind of an interesting spot, right? Because when you're working on fraud detection, or it basically rolls up into anomaly detection, right? How do you begin to understand, like, first of all, what data do you need for it? And the second is, how do you start to model, like, oh man, this looks like a phishing attack, or it looks like they're trying to make more money off their ads than they should be. How do you start to do that, with starting with the data and then getting to the model?
So I can talk specifically about phishing because that's the area that I'm working on currently. So phishers typically have a very well-defined MO. They have to bid on like keywords that will ensure that their ads get shown. So for example, if they're trying to phish Amex, American Express, they have to make sure that they bid on the right keywords. So Amex, Amex login, those are the kind of keywords that they are going to be bidding on. And we also know that the landing page that they ultimately take the end user to should look exactly like the American Express login page. So those are kind of the, you know, main signals that we have. So we have the keywords that phishers or all customers bid on. We have the ad copy that they use, and then we have the landing page itself that they use. So these are essentially the high level buckets of features that, you know, we have available to us.
So let's see if I understand. For phishing, you mean someone is making an ad, they're going to put it on Bing, but they're going to do it to trick me into going into a site and putting my Amex password.
Exactly.
And so your job is to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Exactly. So Bing Ads is a self-serve space. So anybody can come in and create a customer shell and create accounts under that, create campaigns, create, you know, ads and keywords, and they can create ads that look exactly like an American Express ad would look like. So that's where the challenge is.
So let's talk about sort of, you talked about sort of the MO. What kind of data is associated with that that allows you to build good predictive models?
Correct. So like I mentioned, we have a set of risky domains. We call it risky domains, but essentially they are the domains that we are trying to protect, right? So we know so these are like financial institutions, or even like our own login pages, like Bing Ads login pages or AdWords login pages. So we have that list, and we have keywords associated with them. So we run specific checks on incoming keywords. We run checks on URLs. So basically, a lot of times they use these keywords in the URLs. So they will use myamex.com. And so we run checks on the URLs to see if the keywords are present, but then they are taking you to a different final landing page. So that is some of the data that we use. So we have URL level features. We look for specific rejects in the URLs. Are they using things like login, secure, banking, etc.? So we have URL level features, we have keyword level features. Like I mentioned, are they bidding on any of those risky keywords? And then we have just their account level data. So typically phishers don't take the effort to create, like, you know, huge campaigns or huge ad groups or anything. So they'll create a single campaign with the default campaign name, single ad group with the default ad group name, you know. So we see typically just one ad or one ad group or one campaign in their shell. So those are the signals that we are looking for. So today we have all of these feed into a machine learning model. We use TLC for training, and we tried different models, and Fast Tree has been doing well for us across all of them.
So tell us a little about TLC. What does it stand for, and what is it? I've heard it before, but I don't know what it is. Is it like some toolbox or?
Yeah, so TLC is an internal Microsoft machine learning toolkit, essentially. So it offers you various models that you can try out. It's pretty cool. So it gives you also options to train, test, train, test, or validate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that helps you identify problems like overfitting in your
Got
data.
It.
And it also lets you, so if you're not, so there are various hyperparameters you can
mm-hmm.
specify for different models, right? And so if you don't know which one to choose, it lets you, like, you know, do a sweep.
Sweep,
and then you can run like multiple hyperparameters for multiple models, and then just compare which ones do well. And
my understanding is that TLC is the foundation of what is now Azure ML as well. Is that true?
Yes, I believe that's true. I think TLC is integrated into Azure ML.
And so let's talk now that we know what signals you're putting into your models,
mm-hmm.
what kind of modeling are you doing? I know you mentioned it briefly. How do you select the model? How do you get the right hyperparameters? How do you know which features are going to be good?
Correct.
What are some things that you do as a data scientist?
Correct. So prior to this, we've had a very rules-based system
mm-hmm.
where we would run like basic rules
sure.
checks and, you know, trigger based off of that. So we've pretty much incorporated all of those rules into this new model that we are working on. So those are all the URL-based features that I talked about. And then we've been adding new features. And every time we retrain the model, our model runs in Cosmos, so we have this ability to sideline or flight models.
I see.
So what we do is we train a sideline model also and deploy it, and then we let it run for like a few days in production along with the mainline model, and so that way we get side by side comparison of how the new model is doing. So every time we add a new feature or we retrain the model with the latest data, that is how we kind of measure the effectiveness of it.
So how do you measure how well it's doing? Do you lean more on precision, recall, or are you just accuracy?
Good question. Yeah. So currently, what we are aiming at is higher recall
mm-hmm.
And precision better than the rules-based system,
sure.
right? So, and we've been doing pretty well. So out of all the phishing cases that are caught, around 92% of them come from our pipelines. We have about 4 or 5 different pipelines today.
Mm-hmm.
That 92% of, so that's our recall of all the, you know, phishing pipelines. That's what we catch. Precision is around 50%,
mm-hmm.
Which is better than the rules-based system.
Mm-hmm.
But that is our goal going forward, to, you know, keep the recall high while, you know, continuing to work on improving
precision. For those that don't know the measure of recall and precision, can you explain why recall would be more important in this instance than, say, precision?
Correct. Recall gives you the percentage of true positives that our algorithm caught in comparison with all the true positives that were reported. For us, the goal is that we catch as many as we can.
Yeah.
So that's why recall is important, really important for us. It's a way to protect our end users, right? We don't want a DSAT for Bing users, because every time they have a DSAT, we're effectively losing a customer.
Sure.
So it's very important to catch all the fishes out there. And it's also important to, from an advertiser perspective, because the more bad actors there are in the system, the less the genuine ads get
sure.
shown. So that is why we've set our recall goal pretty high. The way precision is computed is of all the all the accounts. So our detections are at account level. So of all the accounts that our algorithm predicted, how many were really fishers.
Mm-hmm. And so in this case, you're saying if we're not sure they're fishers, we'd rather say that they are just in case.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we are erring in the side of caution. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about sort of your favorite part of the whole data science process, because you have the data, you have these signals that you found, you push them into models, but what part of it is most interesting to you?
I think what's really interesting is the feature engineering part,
mm-hmm.
Because I think that is where we will continue to get gains. We can keep trying more, modeling techniques.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, we need to improve our features as we go forward, and add new features. Keep adding new features. for example, landing page is something that we are trying to, our landing page checks are something that we're trying to improve on. Because at the end of the day, a Fisher has to have a page that looks exactly similar to some page. So what's the right way to compare that similarity?
Right.
So we've looked into various techniques. So that is something that I'm very interested in, where, you know, I get to learn new things. So for the landing page, we are looking at, we've looked at using OCR. So OCR is a technology that you can use to read text from an image.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take the raw HTML, it's very noisy.
Sure.
So the text from the image itself is much more cleaner because there are no, there's no, you know, HTML tags and all of the JavaScript, all of that is cleaned out. So that is a much cleaner thing that you can compare. So we have some algorithms running for comparison there, and that's something we'll continue to work on.
So as we talk about feature engineering, because that's something that you're interested in, how do you think there'll ever be a situation or a scenario where there'll be algorithms that help us with feature engineering? Or is there just a human, you gotta look at it, you gotta see what the correlations are, et cetera?
I think ultimately we have to look at the data to understand like what stands out, right? I mean, so that we can incorporate those correctly. So I think visualization is important.
Well, this has been awesome. Any tips for those that are starting with data science? Where can they go to learn?
I think Microsoft is a great place to be in
to
start. I mean, Bing Ads, if you look, we're working with like real data and huge amounts of it, right?
Sure.
I mean, this is like real customer data. So this is a great place to be in for like learning, machine learning and data analytics hands-on. I would say DLC is a great place to start off with. And Cosmos Scope, I think that's also a part of our, you know, daily life. So that's also something. That'll be a good starting point.
Well, this has been awesome. For those that are watching that maybe are not part of Microsoft, what would you suggest they study if they want to be data scientists? What would you start out with first?
So outside of Microsoft, I think Python is something that, you know,
I'm
is
also a
super
fan.
Useful.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Python.
Yeah.
R is okay, but I like Python, okay? That's what I... And so learn about Python. What else?
I think just general machine learning concepts, and if you're new to ML, ramping up on that would be
Well, this has been great. Awesome. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Again, we're here in Building 33 for the Machine Learning Analytics and Data Science Conference. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.